Could it be you? We're the Money Wise Guys. We are back. It is us. We are the ones who will love and care about you and your finances. Welcome back. I'm Paul here with Chris. And we've got a great guest. We've got Anselmo Moreno, who's been on the show in the past many times. He is the credit guru. He is the CEO of Innovative Credit Solutions. Glad to have you back on the show.
Good morning. Glad to be back.
It's been a little while since you've been on, hasn't it?
It's been a little while.
Too long. Everybody had their credit, no credit problems, right?
That's you'd why. You'd like to think that.
Well, Anselmo's had been the CEO over there at Innovative Credit Solutions. What you do is help people with their credit score. So I want to start by saying, why is it important to have a decent credit score? What is that credit score? How is it used?
Well, it's used.
Is it just for loans?
No, it's used everywhere. You know, it's really a risk assessment tool that people use to determine whether you're a good risk or a bad risk. And it's not just used for loans. Nowadays, it's used for employment screening. Credit is also used to rent you a place or to underwrite insurance, right? So in all facets of life,
some jobs even check.
Right. And some facets of life can... All facets of life will involve a credit report or a credit score. So it's important that you are familiar with it and informed.
Are you seeing any dating people? They're actually using credit scores before they'll date? I mean,
yeah, would they even be able to access them?
You know, that's actually a big myth. And one of the things that is said is like, okay, so we're dating now, but before we get married, I need to look at your credit because now our credits are going to combine now that we're going to get married. And that's actually not true at all. You know, the credit reports stay separate. You don't actually merge files or have one combined credit score. You stay completely independent. And marriage really doesn't affect anything when it comes to credit reports. But an astute consumer will probably want to look at a credit report of their soon-to-be spouse to make sure that there's nothing hiding or anything that can, you know, jeopardize their future.
Yeah, I would recommend, not necessarily saying give me your credit score, but you definitely want to know what's going on in you're taking on another person in your life, and you want to make sure that that's, you know, that they're not coming in with a ton of debt baggage. I've got, well, I won't say who it is, but I've got a very close family member who is married to a guy for a week before she found out all of his credit problems and ended up just walking away from left the marriage because he had, you know, wasn't honest with her and had all these issues. So, yeah.
Well, you know, when someone is not responsible with their finances or doesn't take their finances, and in that case, their credit serious, that could be a sign of just general irresponsibility or general bad decision making,
right? Which is why I imagine employers now are looking at it, because how you handle the responsibility of bills, how you handle the responsibilities of taking on a loan from somebody, if you'll just walk away from that or won't deal with those issues,
then
how would you take the job seriously?
Right, there's a trend of missing payments. You know,
right.
It's different if you have one big thing that you've been hurt with,
and you know, if you're in financial distress and you're in a position where you're managing money, you know, you might be tempted to take some money that doesn't belong to you in order to cover some of your bills. So it's certainly predictive when it comes to hiring people, how their credit looks.
So let's talk about where you get your credit report, where you get it, where you can get it, and what kind of the scores mean.
You know, nowadays with just technology and the information age, really, credit has become very transparent, and there's all kinds of places online.
It's becoming more transparent.
Yes.
You know, a lot of cards actually give you your credit score.
Which is great.
I think so, too.
It's empowering consumers, and it's really making people learn about credit. It's in your face every day. Like you said, it's on your credit card statement if you have a credit card nowadays. But, you know, the true free way to get your credit report is annualcreditreport.com. That is a government-sponsored website where you can
get
your free credit report. Right.
Annualcreditreport.com. And you can get one from each of the three credit reporting agencies once per year. So if you really want to do it, you know, you can go every quarter and get one, or at least every few months and get one.
And you don't get your score.
Right.
Right. Get your report.
You know, and one of the with credit reports and credit scores becoming so common and transparent now, you know, annualcreditreport.com is a place where you get a free report once a year, but there's also other consumer websites like Credit Karma or creditsesame.com. Even Credit Karma has a nifty little app that people use, and it's completely free, and it shows your credit report and what we know in the industry as a simulated credit score to help people keep track of their credit. And a big issue that that causes is if you go on your Credit Karma app and it says you have a 641 and the mortgage lender said you need a 640 to get a home.
Which is a low fare if right? you're looking at what it means.
And if Credit Karma says you have a 640, you go to the lender and the lender says, well, actually, you're a 619. The consumer gets really confused. Like, well, here it is on my phone, you know, that I have a 640. And that is a big issue right now. And that really kind of goes on to that happens because there's there's dozens of several credit scores out there. And Credit
That's a
Karma,
big change from billions to dozens.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to drive the point home that there's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also, your credit score changes constantly, correct?
Right. I mean,
don't you have a credit score from each of the agencies too?
Right. So, let's talk about the credit score, right? So the credit score that is used by lenders is known in the industry as FICO, and that's how most people understand their score to be FICO, your FICO credit score. Now, FICO credit score has, within their own software system, 60 different variations of this scoring model.
Wow.
And within those 60 variations, it happens because there's different generations of them, right? So recently in 2014, FICO released a new credit score model. And prior to that, they released one in 2008. And prior to that, they released one in 2008. So there's different generations that change with consumers' behavior in order to better predict risk. And then within those generations, there's different applications. For example, there's an auto loan application or a mortgage loan application or a credit card application. And so all of these different industries have their own specific score. And it just kind of creates a situation where your credit score will never be the same wherever you go, wherever you check it. So what you should really focus on is making sure that your credit history is accurate and good.
Yeah, that makes sense. People get so concerned about the score itself, when really what you need to do is make sure that the information is accurate.
Right. If the data on your report is good and your payment history is timely and your debt is low, then your credit score is going to be good regardless of what credit model they're using.
Yeah. Let's see. Somebody's saying you're too low on your mic. There we go. Okay. Interesting. So let's talk about some of the myths out there with credit scores.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. What are some of the main ones that you find that actually affect how people? Well, for instance, the myth that if you check your score, it's going to drop your score.
Oh, that's the
biggest
one.
That can really affect people in a negative way.
That actually is the biggest one. That actually makes people panic. They will not want to go on Credit Karma because they think that if they go on Credit Karma or go on annualcreditreport.com because it will ding their score. And that literally is the number one thing that it gets asked to me is, when does it get dinged and when does it not? So let's demystify these dings. In the industry, we know them as inquiries, right?
Yeah.
And essentially, 10% of your credit score is calculated based on inquiries. And all that means to a lender is how many times have you asked for credit or applied for a loan in the last 12 months? So if you have a lot of inquiries in the last 12 months, then you're a higher risk than people that don't have inquiries in the last 12 months, right? It just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, which means, that you're checking places to get credit.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you might be taking on too much debt too fast. We don't know, but statistically speaking, people with inquiries, a lot of inquiries in the last 12 months default on things more than people without inquiries in the last 12 months. And that's really the way that the credit score works. But so to demystify them, if you check your own credit either on annualcreditreport.com or any of the consumer websites that are out there, that is not considered an inquiry. That's just you looking at your own report. An inquiry is only considered when you go ask somebody, a bank and, an auto lender or anywhere, a credit card company, anywhere you go ask them for money, that's the only time that that's an inquiry. And they stay on your credit report for 24 months, but they only get count against you for 12. So that's inquiries demystified.
Okay, there so it only stays on 12 months.
It only counts against you for 12, but it will report on the report for 24 months.
Okay. What are some other myths out there?
So we got inquiries. My favorite one is the debt collector, the 7-year rule on debt collections. That's a good one. So.
Yeah, I may be wrong on this one. What? Clear that up or explain what that is.
Well, I think most people have heard of the 7-year rule. I mean, is it you break a mirror, you have bad luck for 7 years?
Yeah, right.
That's one. Well, the credit report one is if you, bad stuff stays on your credit report for 7 years. And what people don't understand is when does the 7 years start? When does the 7 years end? Right?
Right.
A lot of people think, well, and they say, I have accounts on my credit report that are 10 years old. And shouldn't they be on there for only 7? And I'm like, well, it depends. When did you open it and when did you last make a payment? Well, I opened it 10 years ago, but I last made a payment 4 years ago. It's like, okay, well, that's, the 7 years starts on the date of last payment before it went into default. So, you know, this account technically still has 3 more years left. Now, when an account gets sent to collections, right, and so now it's been in collections for a few years, and if you deal with the collection agency and make a payment with them, that will not reset to 7 years. Once an account is charged off and sent to collections, nothing can reset to 7 years. Whether you call them, they call you, you write to them, or you even pay it off, that cannot reset to 7 years.
Oh, that's interesting. So the 7 year starts then, and you can continue to work on it, but it's not going to keep it current.
Right. It's the date of last activity with the original creditor. So if we have an account that's scheduled to fall off in November of 2016 and we pay it off now, it still falls off in November. It doesn't extend another 7 years.
If it's with a creditor.
If it's with a collection agency.
Collection agency. Okay. Right. Well, let's say that where I think it would affect people is, let's say that they have a medical bill that they've been fighting for 6.5 years. Let's say it's coming up on 7 years. It's been on their credit report, 6.5 years. What advice would you give them as far as starting to, let's say they finally settle it to a certain amount and they're going to start making payments? Would you say, hold off till the 7 year passes so that?
Well, you'd have to consider what their end goal is. But, you know, on a simple scenario like that, the fact is that it's coming off at the end of that 6 month period. So if it's 6.5 years old and we can pinpoint the date of it being 6 months in the future, then my question back to the consumer is simply, this account is going to be off of your credit report in the next 6 months. You can choose to pay it if you, out of the kindness of your heart or feel some responsibility to pay this, then you can. But as far as a credit score is concerned, it's not going to change your panorama whether you pay this bill or not if you're willing to wait the 6 months.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Anselmo, I want to talk about phantom money. What is phantom money? How does it affect you, and how can you deal with that? All right, we're the MoneyWise guys. Stick around.
The news and talk of Kern County, 1180 and the new 96.1 KERN.
Welcome back. We are the MoneyWise guys. I'm here, Paul Anderson, with Chris Pelster, and our guest today, Anselmo Moreno, CEO, founder of Innovative Credit Solutions. He's been doing this for 10 years now. In fact, before that, Anselmo, weren't you a collection?
Yeah.
Worked at collections?
I worked at a collection agency, prominent local collection agency, and that's really where I got to know that side of the business, and I realized that, you know, I was on phone calls trying to collect money from people, and I find myself kind of helping them navigate the credit issues that they had, and instead of asking them for money to pay the bill that I was calling for. And so it was just kind of a knack for me. I naturally just want to help people. And so when you're calling to demand money, it just wasn't my thing. But I was exposed and learned a lot.
That's a great way to see, I guess, the other side, yep. So to speak.
Yep.
Well, because that's what I asked when you came in. Like, how does a career in this type of field develop? Like, it's not necessarily something that I think people go to college to say, hey, I want to repair credit scores, you know, and like they pursue it in college. Obviously it's some sort of business degree or something that you develop that, but yours kind of came out of being on the other end where you're collecting
debts. You saw a need that you could fulfill, which really is the best way to start a business, I think, or one of the best ways to start a business.
Yeah.
There is a big need. And, you know, when you consider that, the need for credit repair really revolves around, consumers being unable to navigate credit issues on their own. Either they don't have the time or patience or maybe the knowledge to be able to do it on their own, or they just, you know, they go online and see way too much conflicting information that they want to seek out professional guidance in order to make sure that they make the right choices.
All right, we got a call. We got Nick on the phone. How you doing, Nick?
Hello, how are you?
Doing good. You got a question for Anselmo?
Yeah, actually, it's a couple of questions. Do all of the three credit reporting agencies, do they all subscribe to FICO, which is an acronym, of course?
Well, technically, the collection agencies, they all three of them do use FICO, and I wouldn't call subscribe to be the correct word, but essentially FICO develops software for each one of them that's specially for each one of them. So Experian has their own version of FICO, Equifax and TransUnion also have their own versions of FICO, and whenever a bank wants to order a credit report, they will order it with a FICO credit score. And so I guess to answer your question, yes, all three of them use FICO.
So if they all use FICO, I'm told that they, with the same information, they will come up with different numbers.
And if you look at the range of the FICO score at each bureau, it actually changes. So the common range is 300 to 850, but you'll have like TransUnion have a range of 315 to 837, right? And that's the low and the max. And so you'll always have a different credit score. Plus, there's different information on each bureau. So you might have a collection account that's not on another bureau that is on one. And so that's going to create a change in the credit score from one bureau to the other.
Okay. Do they communicate with each other?
No. Only when you have an identity theft problem and you file an identity theft report, then one bureau will tell the other two, hey, put a fraud alert on this consumer's report. But besides that, they don't communicate. They're kind of competitors.
So if I had a problem, resolve the problem with one credit agency, that problem could still exist with the other two?
More than likely, it will exist with the other two.
Okay. What would be your recommendation relative to that?
You have to deal with each one individually.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. It doesn't make it easy, but that's what it does.
Yeah.
What a pain.
Yeah, that's just kind of – they're just – you have to consider that these are data companies, and they compete with each other for market share. They all have information on you, and they try to sell it to banks that want information on you. And so they're all competitors, and they're not going to help make each other's records be more accurate.
Okay. All right, and you said that TransUnion's highest number was 835, did you say?
Don't quote me on that. The exact number right now escapes me, but the range of each credit bureau, the scale is different on each bureau. It's just the way that FICO developed the software.
Okay, because I had a minor problem, and TransUnion reported it, and it went it dropped almost 200 points. I was at 834.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, that's a big drop.
When you're in the elite credit scores like 830s or even high 700s, that means you're perfect. And when you get a problem, that means you're not perfect, and so you're back in the 600 club with everybody else. That's not perfect.
All right, so I have to get a hold of the other two in order to resolve this.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it, guys.
Nick, hey, thanks for your call. And that, Anselmo, is obviously what Innovative Credit Solutions does, right?
Right.
You do what other people can do it on their own if they want, or just like with any service, you can hire somebody who really knows what they're doing, who can go in and make
right. And more than anything, I like to help people understand credit. I think I have a really strong passion to help people understand their credit and how credit relates to them, their situation, their problem, how to resolve it. So I see people every day, and I just go over their credit report, and I make sure that they understand it more than anything, that any myth that they have in their head, that I apply it in context with their particular situation. Credit repair is something that's extremely misunderstood. A lot of people think that, oh, you just dispute something, and if they don't respond in 30 days, it goes away, right? That's the age-old myth. Nowadays, all disputes are handled electronically. So if you file a dispute with Experian, Experian is going to electronically contact the creditor, and the creditor will respond within less than 30 days. And so that whole 30-day thing really doesn't exist or apply anymore. It kind of never did. But I like to demystify things that is accepted by the general public and just kind of make it more transparent. When you go to fix your credit or when you go to try to, correct an error on your report, it's important to understand where the error comes from. Is it a creditor? Is it coming directly from the creditor? Is it a credit bureau error? Those are little important details that can help make things go by quicker and easier for you.
Yeah, and if you're looking at a change in what interest rate you can get, especially on like a home, you could be talking about years of savings, hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Tens of thousands, yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, yeah. And, one of the common errors that happen on credit report, like you mentioned earlier, phantom money or phantom debt.
Yes,
is you'll default on a debt. Something happened, life hits you in the face, and you go through a credit catastrophe, divorce, medical issue, bankruptcy, right? And you unfortunately default on some bills, and they get sold to a collection agency. So now on your credit report, you can technically have the bill of ABC credit card, and then have that same bill again with ABC collection agency on your credit report. So one bill can be on there twice. And now if ABC collection agency sues you, now you have a judgment. So you have 1, 2, 3 entries on your credit report that say you owe money 3 different times. So you can have $1,000. Not realizing it's the same thing. And more importantly, your creditor not realizing that it's the same debt under three times. And so now you look like a significantly higher risk than you kind of are, right? That's a very common error that you need to make sure is not active on your report. And if it is, you need to make sure that you're able to resolve it directly with the credit bureau.
In fact, let's talk about resolving. How do you dispute a mistake? What can you do?
You know, back in the day, you just wrote a letter to the credit bureau and waited for their response. In fact, to this day, you can still do that. But now it is extremely easy to do it online at Experian.com or Equifax.com, TransUnion.com.
Nice, right there on the website.
Right there on the website, they'll email you the results. You don't have to wait for snail mail. And for most common errors, that is a great way to expeditiously get things done. If you have more of a complex error, identity theft, you know, something that requires paperwork to be shuffled back and forth, then paper mail still works the best because you can track it. And obviously you can send large packets of paperwork and official documents and things like that. But for most common issues, I highly recommend just disputing things online. They should get resolved fairly quickly. And, you know, you can often now, back in the day, there was no way to get an Experian rep on the line. It was impossible. But now it's fairly easy to get any representative from any of the credit bureaus on the line and dispute something over the phone. If you have the patience to wait and on hold for a while, you can get a rep on the line and get something done rather quickly.
All right. Oh, we got a caller. We got Jason on the phone. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, guys. Good. I'll make it quick. I know you guys are on crunch time, but I could take it off the air. But me and my wife, we've been married for a long time, and she had a student loan. We paid it all off and everything, but her credit is kind of frozen now because she doesn't have any credit cards or anything like that. She shouldn't have any debt. What would be the best option? I was thinking about putting her on the credit card, like as an authorized user.
Yes, or a point. That's a great option.
But I didn't know if you guys could maybe give me some ideas, you know, on kind of maybe how easily to build her credit up.
Go to a local credit union and get a secured loan and a secured credit card. Any local credit union should have both of those products. Secured loan, secured credit card.
Okay, perfect. Good. Thank you, guys.
You've got about 30 seconds left. What other advice can you give?
You know, if you just want to seek out professional credit assistance or just want to learn more about credit, visit our website at bakersfieldcreditrepair.com.
You can also call 661-377-1861. Again, that's 377-1861. I tell you, give Anselmo a call, or this is people a call, Innovative Credit Solutions. Great stuff. When we come back, we got Theo Douglas from Bakersfield, California, coming on for his first time on the MoneyWise program. Stick around.